rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, and I'll be joined by Joe Fish from USN DemVet in just a few minutes. I understand you're recalled. Want to jump on the action, I guess, but about 10 minutes or so he'll be here. And, of course, I just want to jump through the news a little bit. And first off, of course, is the horrendous tsunami. And right now the current death toll is at 158,018. Majority of which are coming from Indonesia, and has 94,081, Sri Lanka 48,677, India, and it goes down from there. So it's a horrendous event that happened over there. So, and of course, Colin Powell's over there with Jeb Bush, checking out the damage and seeing, you know, what more the United States can do. We got helicopters flying all over the place, dropping off supplies and medical supplies and everything else. They can need water. Water is important out there. And dropping off the you know, those pellets, they could turn dirty water into drinking water. And apparently there's a factory in the United States is cranking those out by the thousands a day. And what else? And the latest I've been watching, actually, I want to talk about CNN at first, because CNN, they really have done a great job covering the tsunami. They've gone wall to wall with the coverage since it happened, and I just think they deserve a tip of the hat. I mentioned on the blog for the Subject to Discussion, which is Subject and the number 2 and then discussion.com. And just it's been like nonstop tsunami ever since. But I noticed the networks were kind of slow picking up the pace there. They Diane Sawyer's over there right now, and what's her name? Katie Couric's over there now. But the networks are slowly getting people over there, except for Peter Jennings. Peter Jennings supposedly has a infection that's preventing him from traveling over to South and East Asia where the tsunami hit. So we'll see how soon he gets over there. But Brian Williams is there, and there's also Dan Rather. So actually, or maybe his name should be Dan Blather. But anyway, I want to talk about about the tsunami. The criminals are preying on the tsunami victims across the world. This is from Dateline from Stockholm, Sweden, that thieves, rapists, kidnappers, and hoaxers are preying on tsunami survivors and families of victims in Asian refugee camps, hospitals, and the home countries of European tourists hit by the wave. Reports and warnings came in from as far apart as Britain, Sweden, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Hong Kong on Monday of criminals taking advantage of the chaos to rape survivors in Sri Lanka or plunder the homes of European tourists reporting missing. Quote from the Women in Media Collective Group said that we have received thousands of reports of incidents of rape, gang rape, molestation, and physical abuse of women and girls in the course of unsupervised rescue operations while resident living in temporary shelters. So they're, the best in people comes out in one of these things, also the worst in people comes out. I was watching a thing on Larry King with the old man from Sweden. He's looking for his grandson, and there are reports that a German man had brought a boy fitting his description to a couple hospitals a couple times for an ear injury. And it turns out they're saying it may not be him. And then actually the grandfather's hoping that his grandson was kidnapped versus the worst thing scenario could be that his grandson is dead. So, I mean, that's, you know, give or take. And there's a lot of stories. There was another guy in Larry King last night saying that he was in his hotel room when the wave hit. And he was holding onto a railing or something, and then a woman and her son came floating by, and he grabbed a hold of the boy, but he couldn't reach the mother, and he held onto the boy, and he said he was looking at the mother, and she turned back like a last glimpse, and he don't know if she was looking at him or her boy, just seeing if, you know, this gentleman, this senior citizen from the United States, had her boy. And he said it's an image he'll never be able to get out of his mind, is of seeing that the lady, the mother of the child, I'm guessing his mother, looked back at her son as the man from the United States had him, he was holding onto a railing. But and then, of course, we had this week that President Bush appointed Bush 41 and President Clinton to lead a tsunami fundraising drive. And President Bush enlisted two former presidents for ambitious fundraising for the victims of the deadly tsunami on Monday. The devastation of the region defies comprehension, Bush said, as he announced the campaign to be led by his father and Bill Clinton. And the president ordered all American flags to fly at half staff this week in sympathy for the victims of a great tragedy. Now, I've seen some people criticizing us for lowering the flags, but I do recall that after 9/11, a lot of these countries lowered their flags in honor of what happened on 9/11. So, I mean, it's only fair we should do the same for them. And another thing they ran on CNN that, the tsunami, 150,000 people. It's 50 9/11s in one day. If that helps drive the point home, and like I said, Colin Powell is over there with the president's brother Jeb Bush, and he did not rule out more United States government money coming in, but he said there was no immediate need to increase the $350 million committed because the most of the urgent task was coordinating all the aid that was pouring in. There's stories of bottlenecks with supplies. There's so much coming in, they can't get it all processed, and there's a backup at the airport because an Indonesian plane slammed into a herd of water buffalo and up clogging up the airport for, I mean, it's kind of funny. What are water buffaloes anyway? And what were they doing at the airport? And catching a flight or what? I mean, but anyway, they got the plane hauled off the tarmac, and now all the other planes are able to land. And of course, the USS Abraham Lincoln's over there, and they're doing several flights a day. I think it sets up the 40 reconnaissance flights with the helicopters dropping off the aid. And but I have a problem with Bush and Clinton heading this committee. First he was criticized for only giving $35 million. Then he upped to the $350 million. Now he's putting Bush and Clinton, his father and President Clinton, in charge of this committee that's going to raise even more money. Well, what the hell? You know, that money that they're getting, $350 million, came from us to begin with. That's our taxpayer money. I mean, it didn't come out of some magical wallet that the government had.
$35 million is enough.
Well,
you got to figure these people's houses are not. Dude, look, give them $35 million. If it's not enough, then we can give them more.
There you go. But I'm just saying, it's nuts. I mean, they're acting like it's not our money. It's somehow the government's got a wallet that they pulled it out of. It's our taxpayer money, the $350. It's our money, and then they want us to give even more money. So I don't know. And now I saw this morning that they want to the UN supposedly is going to take over the relief efforts, the aid efforts over in that area. I'm like, well, that's
the
same.
Well, the World Bank
clown
gave, what, $250 million. Yeah. And we found out today World Bank is an organization that's run kind of by the
United States. We're the largest
shareholder. Well, United Nations, but yeah. 50% is probably our money anyway.
Exactly.
So who are they kidding?
I don't know. Nobody. And then the guy who runs the World Bank is stepping down. And I said that right when we started the show that Colin Powell is probably going to be put in charge of that World Bank. But anyway, it bothers me that they're going to beg us for more money, and they're going to go you know, shaking down these corporations for more money. I mean, they got enough money, the way it sounds, because you see the private U.S. aid for tsunami tops $200 million. So the American taxpayers, in addition to the money the government gave, privately gave out $200 million, including $1 million from Sandra Bullock. And a three-year-old, Antonio Cabrera, joined his brothers in dropping off cash-filled sandwich bags at a Red Cross office in Denver. And the number one recipient so far has been American Red Cross, and they've pledged tsunami donations as of Tuesday, totaled $92 million. I know a lot of these networks are staying away from mentioning anything about the UN because they think the UN's going to siphon off some of that cash because they're involved in that Whale for Food fiasco. And also, UNICEF is getting some money, which is the U.S. fund for UNICEF. So the United States has some control over that. And Doctors Without Borders, donations about $20 million piece. World Vision, Oxfam America, Catholic Relief Service. I mean, all these. Save the Children, that's the one that does those infomercials late at night with Sally, what the hell her name is, Struthers from All in the Family. Each reporting gifts of roughly $15 million. And it's good to see we're reaching out, but I mean, geez, I mean, I hate the way they browbeat us, you know, with this. I mean, we're giving money, crying out loud. We're giving we already gave $200 million of our own money, and then the government gave $350 million more of our money, you know, and then Clinton and Bush are going to ask us for even more money. You know, lower the price of gas a little bit, do something else, and then we can give more money. I mean, you know, what's going on here? And President Bush is the new Congress, 109th Congress, has been sworn in. And President Bush eyes plan using bulk of payroll taxes. President Bush is expected to unveil his plan for a Social Security overhaul In late February, with administration officials eyeing investment accounts that would hold two-thirds of workers' annual payroll, the administration is leaning towards letting workers divert 4 percentage points of their 6.2% payroll taxes into investment accounts up to $1,000 to $1,300 a year. So he's trying to privatize a portion of the Social Security. And AARP is going to fight him. They say they're going to spend $5 million on an advertising campaign to oppose Bush's plan to divert money from the retirement system into their personal accounts. So there's the war's already on, fighting over, you know, what's going to happen with Social Security. And we have Bush is going to visit a county known for big lawsuits. It's called the Judicial Hellhole, and it's in Illinois, no less. A little county with a reputation for big lawsuits, some call it the judicial hellhole, is getting a visit from a man who wants to make it much tougher to sue somebody. His name is President Bush. It's Madison County, Illinois, just across the Mississippi River from St. Louis. The American Tort Reform Association dubbed the county nation's top judicial hellhole in 2004. Just an example of how crazy that court is over there. Last year, one county judge ordered cigarette maker Philip Morris to pay $10.1 billion for falsely marketing light cigarettes as less harmful than other brands. And more than 1,400 asbestos cases were filed in Madison County, Illinois over the last 2 years, and it was home to 179 class action lawsuits during that time. Wow. So that's personally really sets it should be reformed because it's a lot of hand over there. And, of course, some question, Alberto Gonzalez. I'm going to skip over that because Saab is already talking about that. And because there's big controversy building over his torture memo controversy, or he said that some parts of the Geneva Conventions were quaint, and how it kind of relieved the Bush administration of any restraints from those Geneva Conventions. So we'll skip over that. And then another issue that Congress is having to deal with right now in the new session would be CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And U.S. business groups are pushing for a vote in the first half of the year on CAFTA, which has languished at the White House since 2004. Many Democrats oppose the pact on grounds that its labor and environmental provisions are too weak. Provisions that would open the U.S. market to more textile and sugar imports would pose problems for some Republican members from districts representing those domestic interests. I'm all for free trade, so I mean, I think they should just fly it on through. But where are we at with time here? Bring the guest on. Joe Fish is with us from USN DemVet. Joe, you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, hey, there you go. Welcome to the program, sir.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? I was just running through a little bit of news before we got to you. I want to get all this domestic, drama out of the way. But
domestic drama, that's a good word.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, our sympathies go with everybody involved in the tsunami. But here in the United States, we have our own dramas unfolding daily, it seems like, with the Congress and the 109th Congress. But anyway, give the listeners a little background about yourself and your blog.
I just am a guy. I was spent a few years in the Navy, a few years on active duty, a few years in reserves. Most of the time I was over the Western Pacific, Indian Ocean. Lived in Japan for a while. Kind of enjoyed that. I started blogging about 2.5 years ago, I guess. And I've been just having fun with it ever since.
Wow. What's your blog mostly about? About military affairs? Or?
No, it's a little bit of everything.
Everything?
When I started blogging, I was doing a lot of stuff with military things, but there's just so much other stuff, and it seems as though the prevailing attitude has shifted against anybody who doesn't seem to just worship the ground that our fearless leader walks on, that, you know, there's a universe of things to talk about.
Yeah. Now, what about some people are saying I try and be sensitive of the tsunami, but a lot of people are saying that this could be an excuse or an out of Iraq, that Bush can use this, saying that the tsunami mess deserves our attention more than Iraq. We're going to pull resources out of Iraq and throw it into the tsunami. What do you think of that scenario?
I think that would be it's an interesting line of thought. I seriously doubt that the neoconservatives who helped him achieve the office he's in would buy into that argument, because they've got their own agenda for the Middle East.
Really?
And I really don't believe that they would go there. On the other hand, I think it was a Juan Cole, I think, the other day was pointing out that, if they put half the effort into the tsunami relief they're putting into Iraq on a daily basis, we'd make an awful lot of friends in the Islamic world.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys clear up something for me real quick?
Yes.
This is Khan, by the way.
Oh, he's the producer of the show.
And We're doing our daily show today. Someone in the chat room said, maybe can clear this up for us. The tsunami was created from
a ship
nuclear
full of, I heard about that too.
Blaster from America, and there's something cover up. I'm not sure. I'm like, come on, this is a little far fetched.
Well, given that the epicenter of the tsunami was in the South Pacific, somewhere off of one of the Indonesian islands, and the fact that I think they have now confirmed that the Burma plate actually went under the Indian plate.
I saw that on PBS.
It actually moved some islands as much as 20 meters along that fault line, either vertically or horizontally.
Wow.
So I don't think there are any nuclear weapons that have quite that capability.
There's a lot of stories floating around. I heard something similar today. I heard that supposedly Saddam's weapons of mass destruction were on some kind of barge, and somehow it got over there, and we blew it up, and that caused the tsunami. I mean, you hear all this stuff.
There would be a plume of radioactive material that would probably be encircling the Earth by now, if that were true.
Yeah. Now,
hey, Sean, you like the America bashing that's going on about we're not giving enough money?
Oh, I think that was kind of blown out of proportion. What do you think, Joe?
I am not somebody who wants to bash the U.S. I think that if people are out there right now in Blogtopia, as it were, saying that, pointing out that the per capita spending of some countries is higher than what ours is, and that may very well be true, given that we have 260+ million people. The per capita dollar amount may not seem that high, but I suspect that as time goes on, whether the U.S. government gives a lot of money or whether it comes from private sources in this country, I suspect it'll probably be a substantial amount. As time goes on, I don't even know if anybody's actually accounted for how much there is. I saw a number somewhere today on MSNBC or something that was like $4 billion total. What the U.S. percentage of that is right now, I don't know.
Now, what news channels do you watch for your news? Do you watch them all, or are you basically MSNBC?
I kind of look at a little bit of everything, but, honestly, since I started blogging, I haven't really spent a lot of time. One of the reasons I started blogging was so I wouldn't throw my shoe through the television.
Yeah.
I just get so annoyed by some of the slant that some of the news programs take. So I get a lot of information from both right and left-wing blogs, and I kind of go from there, and then I follow the story threads. I click on the links and follow the story threads and see where people are going if they, read their perspective on what a story is on, say, Yahoo or MSNBC or CNN or something.
Like, I watch Hardball, and I watch that. And
I used to watch Hardball all the time until Chris Matthews got strange.
he gets a little carried away.
He's like so full of himself, he won't stop and let somebody finish a sentence. He wants to just yell over the top of them for no good reason.
Exactly. Well, and then the Crossfire, I used to watch that, and then they had that puppet dog from Conan on, and I'm like, that's the end of that show. That insult dog, whatever the name of that dog is.
Triumph, the insult dog.
Yeah, him on Crossfire. Like, what's going on with the show? Robert Novak and him are grilling the insult dog. I mean, what's going on? But I do like their coverage of the tsunami mess. I mean, they really... You can tell CNN's got the reach because they're...
CNN has done a good job, I think. They sort of redeemed themselves in some of their tsunami coverage because it's not political, really. They're doing what Ted Turner stood the organization up for way back when, which was global news. And that's kind of a good thing. On the other hand, when they start trying to suck up to Karl Rove, they sort of fall into the same trap that a lot of the other broadcast organizations are. They don't want to lose their access to the White House.
Yeah.
So they'll say whatever the hell it takes to keep their seat in the front room, the front row of the press room.
Yeah, well, you still have a firestorm in the chat room there blasting Chris Matthews. I'm not going to say what they're saying about him. It's a little nasty.
I can't see the chat room right
now.
No,
it's pretty. And then Lurch is in there, kind of standing up for him. I don't know. He says, I think you're wrong. I believe we have an ethical obligation to help others. I think a lot of it's about the aid we're given to the tsunami.
Well, victims. And I think we need to do that, but it's, the death toll's still rising, the dollar amounts are still rising. And by the way, hi Lurch, how you doing?
Who he is? Is she? He? She?
Well, he's actually a commenter on my blog fairly frequently. He's a really good guy. He's an ex, I think he's an army veteran, I know that, and he was, I think he did like long range patrols in Vietnam, and the guys that used to go out into the jungle for days and weeks at a time, and basically live off the land watching the D.C. and the NVA move around.
My goodness.
He's a pretty distinguished warrior.
Wow. Was he over there with John Kerry, do you know?
I'm sorry?
Was he over there with John Kerry?
I don't know if he was there at the same time. I think he might have been there actually before Kerry was there. Kerry was there 69.
Really?
I believe.
Now, what gets the most feedback on your blog? Do you find when you post stuff about Iraq, or what gets the most feedback on your blog?
That's really hard to say. Sometimes I touch a nerve with something. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head, and I'll get, a brainstorm for me, which is, more than, say, 20 comments. I'm not like Atreus or Cause. I don't have 500 or 700 comment threads, going on. But, I think sometimes that does it. I think the story, when I first started blogging, I put a story out there about an event that happened in Afghanistan when we were just had been there maybe 3 months, and there were some troops that weren't getting resupplied real well. They weren't getting supported real well out in the field. And they basically had a Humvee that broke down. They ended up asking for parts. They were told they couldn't have them. And the CO of the little unit that was there, actually made a fan belt, I believe, out of parachute shrouds so he could drive his Humvee with his troops back to friendly country again.
Wow. Wow.
And everybody was like, what's the deal? They can't, provide a V-belt for, a fan belt for a Humvee.
Hmm.
We're spending millions of dollars a day over there, and they can't do that.
Yeah.
And that got, several hundred comments, I think.
Hmm.
A lot of times I've got a really great group of people that read the blog, and they send me feedback by email, and they send me feedback on the blog, and I kind of, they tell them, give me things to look at, stories. I say, a fair number of my stories come from people sending me things.
Hmm. Well, it's I like your blog. It's very well laid out. I mean, similar to, I don't know if you read the Defense and the National Interest, but Chet's blog is, I don't know if it's really a blog or a site or whatever, but I mean, it's very, even-handed, not really,
I tend to get yelled at by some of the right-wing guys who show up and tell me that I'm, I hate America, and, I guess if I hate America, I don't know what the hell I did spending all those years out on ships.
Yeah.
But that's their point of view. Most of them most of the people that tell me that, I write them back and say, hey, tell me about your worst day standing the duty. And they can't do it because they just never did.
Yeah. We think of that soldier who disappeared again. He was, Hassoun, he deserted originally, and they found
him. The Marine, I don't know. I followed that story for a while, and I guess they investigated the thing, and they looked at it, and
he took off again.
They're charging him for basically leaving his unit.
And he took off again. He deserted.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, they say he's back in Lebanon already. They traced him to Canada. Charges on his credit card, or however they followed him, and then somehow they managed to track him to Lebanon. So I don't know how he's probably at the Starbucks there in Lebanon buying coffee. But I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean, who knows what he was doing? I imagine he was deserting, trying to hook up with this family.
Well, you bring up a point that I like to say this to anybody that's out there who's listening. There was a story about a young Navy petty officer out in San Diego who basically went UA. Because he was going to file for conscientious objector status, and I can respect his reasons for doing that. But guys, if you're in the military, you want to go, you don't want to be there anymore, follow the procedures, don't go UA, don't desert. It's just not what you want to do. Right now they're serious about taking you down if you do it. And there's just not a good reason for it. There's procedures in place. Go for that. I've gotten numerous emails from people asking me about, hey, I left my ship in Norfolk and I can't go back, and so I'm turning myself in next week, and then I get an email from them, I turn myself in, and now they want to charge me with all kinds of stuff. Hey, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. You're sort of handcuffing the guys in charge.
Mm-hmm.
It may seem like the right thing to do, but you're kind of handcuffing them to a course of action that they may not want to follow, and you certainly don't want to have to live with.
Well, not only that, you're making life worse for the guys that are over there, because the ones who don't show up, they're extending the tours of duty for the ones that are already over there.
Yeah, that's true, I think, to some extent, too. It's maybe not quite as, it may not be quite as one for one as that, but it's an action that has consequences far beyond just walking away.
Yeah. Now, what about there was a report today that apparently the Bush administration is going to ask for another $100 billion for Iraq in February. What do you think of that? I think that's outrageous.
Didn't they say this war would be paid for by the oil reserves over there?
Yeah. And then,
wasn't that the original line of thinking?
Exactly.
And then when when Congress, the friendly Congress, asked the price tag, they couldn't come up with one,
mm-hmm.
because I think they knew all along it was going to be costing a whole lot more money, you know, and you know, the tax cuts on top of the war is fiscal insanity. I mean,
yeah.
we don't, what my kids and grandkids will be paying for this.
Mm-hmm. Like you said,
for
I mean,
years.
He's plundering the nation's treasury with all this, and we went from, you know, beating up on him, but oh, well, here we go. But we went in with a, you know, a trade surplus. I mean, the
significant trade surplus and a significant budget
mm-hmm.
surplus.
And the debt was coming down. You know, Clinton refinanced the debt, and then he turns around. You know, 9/11 happened. Okay, fine. And then now this war. Now he's asking for $100 billion, and on top of, you know, the tsunami thing's going to cost us some money. You know, the $350 million is a drop in a bucket. And then, you know, then they got the thing with Social Security coming around the corner. I mean, this is out of hand.
That's another beautiful one. I'm just really enjoying that debate, the whole Social Security thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't quite understand how people think that they're not going to be paying for that.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the emotionalism of saying they want to invest their own money,
mm-hmm.
but the amount that they're going to be allowed to invest is so small.
$1,000 a year.
You know, I mean, if you ever get your Social Security statement, if somebody out there gets their statement from the Social Security Administration, and they've been working for, say, 30 years, they may find that they've got that the balance is less than, say, $100,000, even though they've been putting into it for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if they retire, if they hit retirement age and they live for however many years and continue to get a benefit from that, they're probably going to collect that and more because everybody pays into it. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's really an insurance plan. It's not a defined, it's not a retirement plan per se.
Yeah, well, that
and they don't want to tell you that. They want to tell you that it's your money, you should keep it, but mm-hmm. you're going to keep it and you're going to spend, you know, you're going to invest money in a stock market that's going to be overpriced because as soon as that money comes out there, people who have stocks are going to hang on to them because the price of everything is going to go up. The fees that investment houses are going to charge are probably not going to be capped.
Mm-hmm.
So your small investment is going to get eaten up in fees and higher stock buy-in.
Well, then what happens when that stock, you know, goes down the crapper? I mean,
well, that's right. When it goes down the crapper, then all that money you've invested in a higher stock price initially and the fees that you paid to get into it and then maybe get out of it later are gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no recouping it.
Yeah, I mean,
I think people who say that they don't go back and read history. They don't understand why things like the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation were formed because of bank runs in the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Then Social Security was so that, you know, our grandparents wouldn't have to sell apples on a street corner if there were, you know, another economic downturn of the magnitude of what happened at the end of the 20s.
Yeah, well, Social Security is never meant to be your sole source of retirement anyway.
Right, it wasn't, but it was meant to be able to keep people out of, you know, above the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to fix something, I think people say, well, fix, you know, look at Medicare. That may be a place to go, but, you know, they basically sent that Medicare bill through that helps all the big insurance companies
mm-hmm.
and, you know, or the big drug manufacturers, rather, and you know, they've moved on. They said, hey, you know, no accidents here, nothing's happened, just, you know, don't look, move on, nothing to see.
Well, and then, like you said, the Social Security, you know, thing he's going to jam down our throats, that's going to add another $1 to $2 trillion to the debt. I said a couple weeks ago, why doesn't he pay down the debt a couple trillion?
That's right. I have no objection to getting a tax refund if the debt's paid off.
Exactly.
What's the problem with that?
Nothing. I mean, like I said, if he was going to do this, the Social Security, and add $1 or $2 trillion to the debt, why don't you pay it down $2 trillion before you add more to it?
Right.
I mean, I think it's too much common sense, but I mean, it's just, you know, hello. I mean, we got the debt, going through the roof, and everything else. Pay that down before you add more to it.
Yeah, and you know, what's so funny about it is I don't think that's really a partisan issue. I've talked to a lot of friends of mine who voted for George Bush who believe that the debt should get paid down.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have that. You know, they were just thrilled to death to think they were going to get this tax break, and then they started thinking about the fact that, well, maybe that wasn't like the most, that maybe that wasn't the wisest use of the money at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And well, on top of this war in Iraq and Afghanistan,
sure,
and everything
exactly.
else, I mean, you know, this money could have been, you know, kept in the Treasury, and maybe our debt wouldn't be this high, you know.
Right.
But what do you think of Congressman Matsui passing away? I don't know if he had any.
Yeah, I read that, and I was kind of thinking, you know, that was kind of a real shame. He was quite a progressive voice, and I think that it's going to be a great loss.
Yeah.
I think that I wrote a thing the other day, kind of in reference to that about Michelle Malkin. I you know, she thinks that people should get interned again. Hey, Michelle, guess what? They could intern you, and I gave the reasons for it.
Yeah. I don't know if you watched the memorial service today on C-SPAN, but
no, I didn't. I didn't have a chance to catch you.
Clinton was there, and Hillary Clinton spoke, and Hastert spoke. I mean, it seemed like he was very well liked from both sides. I mean, he was. They mentioned, I didn't know that his family was interned in the Japanese internment camps here in California.
Yeah. He grew up. He basically, I think, grew up in the camps and then was released. You know, at the end of the war. Mm-hmm. And he tells the story in that piece where he was there, and the teacher wanted to know. He was a toddler, and they wanted to know what he'd done wrong. Why were you locked up?
Yeah.
You know, were you some kind of a criminal?
And, well, now they're going to be fighting over his seat in the House, the Ways and Means Committee is on that. So who knows what's going to happen on that committee at all. And then we think of this Congress, this 109th Congress. They swore him in the other day. Do you have any ideas, any hopes for this Congress?
I hope that they can, it's not starting off auspiciously after Frist told everybody he never supported a filibuster for a judicial nominee. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I hope that they can work together. I think that outside of this sort of strange group of Republicans who sort of hijacked the government, I think there are some Republicans out there who are fervent believers in conservative philosophy, and they can, I can differ with them, and I can have an honest discussion with them. They'll listen to me, and I'll listen to them. You know, but, and I think I wish those people would come back to Congress. I wish they were the ones that were running the show. Unfortunately, they're not.
Yeah. Now the chat room Shat, I don't know if that's William Shatner or what, but I don't think so. But he's saying, "Hey, let's give all the money to businesses that go overseas and screw us free trade." Yeah, right. There's a great disparity between what we import and what China imports from us.
Absolutely, there is, and that's been going on for years. I mean, I there was that same thing was kind of going on back in the 80s and 90s with Japanese, you know, the Japanese. Mm-hmm. The Chinese economy, I think, is far more robust in some ways than the Japanese economy was. They may be able to sustain that burn for a lot longer time.
Well, and then those Chinese cars that come over here in a couple of years, too.
I saw something about that. I haven't seen anything. I think maybe like a month ago I saw a little blip about it.
Yeah, they apparently years ago they stole the blueprints or the design concepts from General Motors, and now that we're going to get those cars back. I think they don't want those General Motors cars, but we're going to get them over here from China anyway. They call them cherries, I guess. I hope it's a good cherry.
Oh, is that right? Well, you know, IBM just sold their laptop division to the Chinese.
Wow.
So ThinkPads are now going to be manufactured 100% over there, probably shipped back over here. So there's some American jobs that went to China and probably will never, ever show up again. Except for maybe the folks who sell them.
Yeah. We think of anything with this outsourcing. I know Lou Dobbs talks about almost every night. I don't know if there's really a solution to that besides, you know, jacking up the taxes on these companies that do that. I mean, I don't know if you really want to.
You know, I think that Kerry tried to have an honest dialogue about the whole outsourcing thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, companies that are taking business overseas and basically getting paid for it is not really such a smart thing, and I think people will figure that out in the, you know, some point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the outsourcing may be a natural progression from our what goes on in sort of this global economy, but some of it is almost mean-spirited. You know, companies that have been here for years are going overseas without even really looking at alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And whole economies and towns and stuff are just disappearing because of that.
Is it an issue that the government can address? I mean, fast. I really, people ask, well, what can we do?
I think they could start to address it by saying, hey, you know, we're not gonna, basically not gonna pay you to go overseas. You know, you do that, your tax breaks go away.
There you go.
And you know, maybe that gets some people's attention.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an issue. It's hard to. Hard to figure out. I mean, it's been going on for so long, and now it's starting to catch up to us, and now these jobs are flying overseas, and everybody's going to be flipping burgers at McDonald's, you know?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm afraid of. I think that people are going to be flipping burgers at McDonald's, and they're going to wonder how they got there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that the whole, you know, the privatization of Social Security is going to happen, and people are going to all of a sudden, you know, some big box store is going to now be hiring, you know, senior citizen greeters. Well, they already do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to, you know, people are going to wonder what happened to those years I thought I was going to have with my grandkids and, you know, doing other things besides being here is, you know, standing here 8 hours a day with a, working for a, you know, a 22-year-old kid. Mm. And, it's just, they're not going to, unfortunately, I think people aren't going to realize it until it happens to them.
Yeah.
You know, they vote against their own self-interest by voting for Bush and, you know, and some people honestly believe he's like the Messiah. Fine. You know, I'm never going to dissuade those people. Mm. But on the other hand, don't throw that in my face because I don't.
Exactly. Now, they say there's a couple issues that are going to really separate the Congress, these next 2 years. Is going to be the Social Security battle and also the Supreme Court war that's going to break out pretty soon. Do you agree with that? Or?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think Social Security is going to be a big one, and I think the judicial nominees and ultimately maybe the court are going to probably polarize this country beyond what it is now, if that's possible.
Hmm. Do you think Rehnquist is going to step down? I mean, it seems like he's coming back.
He's coming back after. I read that on Talk Left this morning. He's coming back after all the other chemo, the surgery, the I guess he had a tracheotomy and chemo, radiation therapy, and the whole bit. I mean it. My hat's off to the guy for having the stamina to be able to do that. I think, most people would probably, want to go, sit on the beach and recover, but he feels obligated to do it for ideological reasons, I think.
Yeah. Well, plus to come back and to administer the oath to President Bush, too.
Right. Maybe he's going to retire after that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Although I thought Jenny Hastert's going to do the oath for
Cheney.
Cheney, yeah. Which I think that's not unprecedented, but it's sort of unusual.
Unusual.
I don't know. I don't know why he's doing that, other than the fact that he got two fat white guys on the stage together. Other than that, I'm not sure.
Well, they want to make sure people don't mistake one for the other because they both kind of look.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got the immediate clone effect going on there.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going to happen with that Supreme Court. I mean, it's going to be a drag out fight. I mean, Harry Reid, our senator here, already blasted Clarence Thomas, and he's basically an idiot. He's saying his arguments weren't very well thought out, and I don't think he should go there. He should leave alone until it actually happens, then they could battle it out.
Yeah, well, somebody said, I don't know where I saw this, somebody said that if Thomas is nominated to be the Chief Justice, Anita Hill's coming back.
may or may not
be true, but I can guarantee
it's gonna
be a fight.
Yeah, they'll trot her out again if that happens. But we have a thing about this thing in Ohio where they're still going to battle. I guess Thursday, Conyers is going to get up and start fighting the Ohio.
Yeah, I guess Barbara Boxer's going to get with him.
Supposedly,
one senator and one representative to challenge the results, and I guess they're going to do that.
Yeah, they need one senator.
I've been reading a little bit about it. It'll be interesting to see how it goes down.
I don't know. I mean, because I was reading it from, it says that the John Conyers, his report, it says significant disenfranchisement of voters in Ohio. They have found numerous serious election irregularities in the Ohio presidential election. There's ample grounds for challenging electors from the state of Ohio, much of it involving Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell, which is coincidentally the co-chair of the Bush-Cheney campaign in Ohio.
In Ohio, right.
I mean, they got to make these people, if you're going to be on the campaign, if you got to resign your office because all this makes it smell rotten.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, isn't it, that, Catherine Harris had the same exact job, and, 4 years later, the same exact thing happens.
Not exactly the same, but
close. There's irregularities.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then they're looking for one. I guess Jesse Jackson's over there in Ohio stirring this up, and then his son and Conyers and a couple others are gonna get up and protest. But Kerry, coincidentally, he's not even there. He's in, I think, Iraq or Israel. Because he wanted to stay away from that to be embarrassed, apparently, by the
I don't know that he'd be embarrassed, but I suspect that it's probably better for him to stay out of the initial piston match because I think that would just inflame emotions even more than they're probably going to be inflamed right from the beginning.
Well, especially if he runs again. But I mean, they're saying that, I don't know if Barbara Boxer is or not, because actually, strangely thing enough, she was the third largest vote getter in the United States in the election in 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. There's that many people in California.
She's got a lot of loyal, there's a lot of Californians, but she's done a lot for California, I guess, and they like her.
And then do you think they'll actually get anywhere with this? Well, actually, the Congress is controlled by Republicans, so apparently not.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it'll be a battle to watch. Maybe a couple, 3 weeks from now, we can get together again and talk about how it went.
Yeah, I just can't picture. I mean, who knows what this can do with things? I mean, it'll hold it up. I mean, I'm sure it'll go through it. They put it to a vote on both floors of the Congress. It'll go through because the Republicans control it. But I don't think, has this ever been done before? I mean, I've been searching the internet, and there's no.
No, I don't think it's actually been challenged to that extent before. Yeah. I think you may be right.
So let's see. I keep saying, why don't they put the casinos here in Las Vegas in charge of counting the votes?
I don't think there's ever been, other than maybe the election 2000. There's never really been quite the.
Uproar.
Emotional impact, and I think by the time the Supreme Court, handed the election to beloved leader, it was a, everybody was just ready to just move on.
Yeah.
But I think now there's a whole different, vibe, I guess, to the whole thing.
Well, a lot of bitterness. A lot of them can't believe that Kerry lost, and, they're so sure he was going to beat Bush, and, it does seem kind of amazing.
Hey, right? I was up all night watching the returns. Yeah. I was disappointed that.
I mean, it just seemed like he had everything was going for him. The Iraq thing was blowing up in his face, and all the economy was kind of sluggish. And he's like, "How in the world did he lose this election?"
Well, it's interesting,
slip vote vets and all that.
The thing with the religious conservatives, it may or may not have been the straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. But there were those stories during the entire election about how the Republican committee in the White House and Karl Rove were asking them for their mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing what they shouldn't be doing, which was violating,
separation.
The IRS rules about churches being directly involved in political campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true, that certainly is another place to look. I mean, that was, if that actually happened, I think that would be a much more blatant violation, and one that would certainly be, could be taken to a grand jury or investigated or something.
We think of the separation of church and state. I'm all for it. I'm like, get religion out of politics.
I am so all for it that
absolutely.
It's not even funny. Rude Pundit, I don't know if you ever read his site.
Who is it?
As Rude Pundit.
No.
R-U-D-E Pundit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got him. He's on my blog roll.
Oh, okay.
But if you read his site, he's not the most tame-talking guy in the world.
Mm.
Certainly not for family consumption. Wouldn't make it through your filters at work, I'm sure. But
What kind of site this is? There ain't anything on this show, even the press release show before me.
he's got this series going on now called Tales of the Christ Weary. There, people are sending him stories about growing up and what religion sort of how it influenced their lives.
Wow.
And there's some interesting stories about what people say.
Yeah.
And the founding fathers didn't want the church. They didn't want a state religion. There's all this stuff about, there is nothing about the separation of church and state. I'm sorry.
Well, there is.
Pat Robertson slept through that class at Yale Law School.
Exactly. I mean, it's right there in the Constitution.
They're just like everything else. They're in denial about the fact that there's nothing there.
And what's the old saying? Denial is a river in Egypt.
River
right?
in Egypt.
There you go.
Exactly.
But we have to. I mean, it just all these wars are fought in the name of God anyway. Get him out of it. I mean, even over there in Iraq. Oh, Allah. They're all fighting for their God.
Yeah, and you look at the history of that. It's anytime that the religion and the state sort of get so commingled, you end up with things like like Iran. Granted, the Shah was not exactly the person we should have had, and we have a long history of supporting bad people and governments overseas.
Yeah, the Shah,
Went from him to, essentially a religious state that's so intense that people couldn't do anything. And that's what people – I think that's what some of the people here want to do. I think there's almost no difference between some of the mullahs and some of the Christian fundamentalist preachers. They want the same level of control.
Hmm. You ever see those ayatollahs they have over? They all look like Khomeini. Have you seen them all? They all got that gray beard. And they all wear that, that garb. I wonder if it's him, and they just fix them up every few years. You know what I mean? Have you seen that?
Like Mao and his crystal coffin over in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, or Lenin over there in his tomb.
Right.
But now looking ahead to 2008. Now, who do you see out there in 2008?
That's almost too far. I'm more interested in seeing 06.
06?
Yeah, what's going to happen there. I think that if things keep going the way they are, that the pendulum may be starting to swing back a little bit. It's not going to be immediate. The Republicans have done such a good job of convincing people that we're the enemy.
Yeah. Are the Democrats going to get their act together by 06? I mean,
I hope so. That's certainly what I'm hoping, and I, I'm I'm trying to launch another website that's going to be one that'll let people kind of collaborate on election information in their states and towns and stuff so that they can share things and try and bring candidates. Because I think, you know, the Republicans, to their credit, built an organization from the ground up. They went for school boards and town councils and
churches,
dog catchers, and, you know, and then congressmen, state senators, and then congressmen, and, you know, all the way up the food chain to get to where they are now. They took it one step at a time. They didn't rush in yelling and screaming with their hair on fire.
Yeah.
You know, it took Newt Gingrich to do that.
Yeah. And about the DNC now, who's going to be, who do you think is going to be the chairman of the DNC? Two of them dropped out today. Let me see. Former Dallas Mayor Ron Kirk.
Harold Ickes
dropped out as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think there are several candidates. I think, you know, if you want a horse race, you want to follow the horse race there. I think Kaz has probably the best insight into what's going on because he sort of knows all those people.
Yeah. They say Simon Rosenberg is in there. He's the Democratic
Network.
Yeah,
I think Rosenberg's kind of his choice. I think what has to happen is that one of the things that has to happen is they have to get over Al Fromm and the Democratic Leadership Council, and, you know, those people need to realize they're part of the party. But, you know, guys, you haven't won an election in quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Schrum,
keep him away from there.
Presidential elections now.
Exactly. He's 0-8.
Need to, like give him a nice retirement check or something, and just, you know.
I send him over.
The biggest contribution you can make in the next election is voting Democratic.
Yeah. Well, and they keep Schrum either. I'd send him to the Ukraine or something. Let him help whoever else over there. You know, I mean, but I hope it's a Southerner. I mean, they say Donnie Fowler, but it smells like of an inside job because of his dad used to run the party. I mean,
right. I'm not sure. I think, like I said, I think that it's an open horse race. It would be interesting to see somebody from the South take it. Honestly, I think it might be good exposure for somebody like Wes Clark.
There you go.
You know, I don't think he's expressed any interest, but damn, he's an awful fine guy, and he's a hell of an organizer and a leader, and, you know, he's got ideas.
Military man.
He was willing to listen to the Netroots and the sort of the internet side of things, and, you know, he had meetups going for him, and he was just too much of an outsider like Howard Dean. I think he kind of lost to the establishment candidates. I was kind of a big Clark supporter. I really wanted to see him go the distance.
Yeah. Now, do you think he'll run in 08, Clark, or think he's...
I hope he does. Yeah. I really do. I hope he throws his hat in the ring again. I think he's going to... I think if he does something like take the DNC job for a couple of years and gets a little better known by some maybe people who weren't sure about him before and, you know, puts himself out there, I think people are going to see some of the same things a lot of us thought, which is that he's a hell of a guy.
Yeah. What about Hillary? You think she's going to run?
Oh, God.
I hope not.
The problem with that is that I think she's a brilliant lady. She's way smarter than I'll ever hope to be. And, you know, I think she's got a lot of outstanding characteristics, but she's got a lot of baggage. None of it is even, I think, real, but there are people out there who are willing to say that, you know, Hillary Clinton killed John F. Kennedy.
There you go, yeah. Well, and people just hate her with a passion.
And I don't understand that. I think it's totally irrational. Yeah. You know, I mean...
You know what? Because she's a powerful woman. That's why. Yeah,
that's probably part of it. Yeah. I think that, you know, that she put a lot of people's noses out of joint by being herself when she was first lady.
Yeah.
They wanted to see some submissive, person be the first lady. And, you know, I mean... Eleanor Roosevelt didn't have very many people who said nice things about her until she was dead.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of people who thought, when she was alive, thought she was just an absolutely phenomenal person. But, boy, there were a lot of people who just really wished her nothing but ill.
Yeah. I really don't see, because she's an East Coast liberal. I mean, if Hillary was known what she was doing.
She's a Midwest liberal, I think.
But if she was smart, she would have ran for senator from Arkansas and done it like that.
That would have probably been a good move. Although I don't know. I think maybe keeping the Clinton name out of electoral politics for a year or two
might have been
the right thing to do.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going to happen.
She stepped up and took the Senate seat in New York. I think it's funny is that after Alan Keyes was so critical, he ran in Illinois and then got stomped.
Barack Obama just obliterated
Obama,
him.
Who, again, is another guy who looks really attractive, you know, in 08. I think he could be quite a candidate.
Yeah, he's too young, though.
Candidate.
He's too, they're already announcing, they're already saying he might run for president in 08. I mean, my God, he hasn't even taken office yet. And already
I'd give him maybe, you know, a couple more years than that, but certainly he's a guy that could be, you know, a vice presidential candidate at least in 08. And he could bring an awful lot to the ticket. I heard him talk at the Democratic convention, and I was just absolutely stunned by his presence and his words.
Yeah, that was a speech for the ages there. I got at home on tape. It was an amazing speech. But what about Edwards? I really don't think Edwards has much of a chance. I mean, he didn't deliver any of the southern states. He didn't even deliver his own home state.
Edwards is a guy that I think is, he's sort of a self-made man. He had the unfortunate onus of being, one of these quote-unquote trial lawyers, and he didn't have a real big shot at, he didn't have much of a chance to really say who he was, and I think that was unfortunate.
Yeah. But, I mean, Kerry, a lot of us are saying that he might run again. That's why he's over there in the Mideast and Israel to, brush up his resume a little bit more to run in 08. I don't think he's going to run either.
That's one of those things. It's funny, I saw John Kerry speak here in Ohio right about 5 days to go before the election, and it was, if he had spoken the way he spoke that night throughout the entire campaign, I don't think there would have been any question.
Yeah.
He was articulate and passionate and got up there and just said what had to be said, and, why didn't he say that? Why wasn't he doing that a year ago?
Yeah, true. Now, we only got a couple minutes left. Is there an issue out there that you think that we should be focusing on that we're not? Is there something that you're seeing that the media is not covering, or any of the blogs? Is there the economy?
That's why I like the blogs, because there's almost nothing that goes unnoted. I think that you hit probably on one of the biggest things, which is I think that people need to they need to start focusing again on the same thing that's out there, the deficit, and what that's going to do to our country. That's a national security issue beyond anything. We're owned, and our treasury is owned in large part by countries that aren't friendly to us. We need to think about that as we try and incur more debt.
That's true. I mean, it's the Social Security thing coming at us.
Absolutely. And I mean, if China owns the biggest part of our debt, and China decides to flush our currency down the toilet, they're not going to, and it's good for them, they're not going to have any problem doing it.
Yeah. Well, Michael Reagan was talking about that today on his radio show, that he's starting to feel that they're doing exactly that. They're going to flush our economy down the drain, like it happened in Japan or some of these other countries as well. I mean, do you see that happening? Or?
I could see it happening. I mean, that's why I think it's an issue. It's a national security issue. It's not a partisan political issue. It's something that needs to be dealt with and thought about as a threat to our country. And unfortunately, people who are getting their $600 tax check back don't see that. They're not seeing the fact that their $600 is helping to fund a foreign country that's not friendly to us.
Well, Joe, once again, this is Joe Fish from usndemvet.com.
Or just Democratic veteran.
Democrat veteran. Oh, you changed it, or is it Democrat veteran?
No, it's always been that.
Oh, okay. I've been going off to usndemvet.
That's because that's the URL.
All right. And anything else you want to say for?
Not really. I appreciate it. I dumped I didn't have a chance to catch the chat room stuff, but
I
threw an open thread up on my blog. If anybody wants to say what they said up there for me up there, they're more than welcome to do that.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you very much.
Well, hey, I appreciate your time.
No problem.
Thanks a lot for having me.
No problem. We'll have you on again. We can talk about if the Social Security thing goes through or whatever else.
Excellent.
We'll bring you back on, all right?
Yeah, actually, I'm sorry it took so long to catch up together.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about
all
it.
All right.
All right, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
Thank
too.
You. Thank Thanks. You. And that was Joe Fish. And next week is going to be Mark Schulman's going to be on, and he's a blogger as well. And it was a pretty good talk. I mean, a lot of military people the last couple of weeks. And the show went very smoothly tonight, Con. I'll have you know that. The technical snafus from last week with that monkey that was usually sitting there. But I was doing the show here, and then he was doing like a spinoff show over here with what's his name, putting their blog, his website up or something. I'm like, what the hell? But anyway, thank you for listening to the program, and we'll see you next week. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.